I guess early this morning was the full moon. I don't know if people caught the full moon, but Stephen was telling me how he had gone to the ocean on Friday, and there were people meditating on the beach. There was if Friday was not the full moon, but by chance I was at the ocean last night and enjoying the sunset and just staying late. And then it was just a striking, beautiful thing. Then the full moon rose. And I actually got to sit in a little meditation in the full moon. And as you might be aware, that's the tradition that in monasteries around the world, people stay up all night doing meditation in the full moon. So at any rate, one thing I wanted to offer tonight, it's going to be a little bit different, but it's actually a meditation technique, a breathing technique that I have come to like. And I did it a little bit last night in the full moon. It's called alternate nostril breathing. Has anybody heard of alternate nostril breathing or done it yourself? All right, we have takers. some yes, some no. But it's a little bit of sort of interesting technique. And let me just sort of give the basic of how it works. And it's an excuse to look really weird too. But alternate nostril breathing is when you breathe in one nostril, okay? And you traditionally begin with the left. And so you breathe in. And then you have your thumb covering your right. You can have any finger, just whatever your preference is. Your thumb covers your right nostril. So you breathe in on the left. And then once the air is up in there, then you switch with the other finger and you cover your left nostril. And you breathe out with the right nostril. And then you breathe in with the right nostril. And then breathe out with the left one. And I can see this is already having the meditative benefit of producing some joy and laughter in people. So that was worth the price of admission in itself. But the technique is, again, you breathe in with the left, covering up that right nostril, and then cover the left nostril and breathe out through the right, then in through the right, you cover that, and then breathe out through the left. In through the left, and out through the right. Back in through the right. And out through the left. And as they say in the ancient suttas, the monastic chose to put aside greed and distress for the world for a time, for 30 minutes or so. And he sat down under a tree, under the shade of a tree, protection from the elements, or in an empty house, an empty room, and put mindfulness in front of him or her or they. Sitting erect in their body, always mindful. They breathe in and they breathe out. And for the next 30 minutes, we will join with those of us through the centuries, the millennia, across the world, around the world. And breathe in and breathe out over and over. And I invite you, if this technique of using the nostril, alternating right and left, left and right, is something that you find useful, feel free to do it anytime in the meditation if you find yourself distracted. Or just practice as you know how to practice already. And I'll ring a bell to begin. And I'll ring a bell in about 30 minutes to bring us out of our meditation.
Everyone, and those of you who joined us after we started, welcome to you. And so tonight we have one of our own Sangha members who is going to be our guest teacher for this evening, John Lewis. John's a longtime practitioner. He's a graduate of the very first dedicated practitioners program at Spirit Rock back in 2004. He's been a political activist. He and his husband, Stuart, in the gay marriage movement. In fact, he and Stuart were plaintiffs in the California case, and they consider that activism part of their Buddhist practice, engaged Buddhism. John also recently is now teaching mindfulness to lawyers. And he and Stuart also write a weekly column for the San Francisco Bay Times weekly newspaper. So John, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Great to see everybody. And something that I really appreciate about this group is the silence that we share together, that we just shared the last half hour or so. And I was recalling that Jack Kornfield, I think years ago, he was speaking with some, you know, leader from some more religious or faith-based group, and the person understood, you know, the idea of a mindfulness retreat and that sort of thing. But they ask Jack, but where is the sacred? Where is the sacred in what you do? And he said, the sanctity, the sacred is in the silence. And I remembered that. I'm feeling the silence right now. I remember years ago, I was on a long retreat, and a relative of mine had to pick me up midway in the retreat, and she didn't really exactly know what was going on. But she entered the building, and she was simply struck by the silence. And she said, it feels sacred. So I want to affirm that we do something sacred together in the silence each week. And some people weren't on at the very beginning, but at the beginning today, I offered an instruction on alternate nostril breathing, which I know brought a smile to some faces. I didn't really offer people a chance to ask questions about it, but I would be curious if anybody, and feel free to say no, but did anybody get any sense of having an effect on you, the alternate nostril breathing? We did, you know, just instructed it very quick, but just wanted to check if anybody had any reaction to it. Sure, Loki.
It helped me focus a little more, and about midway in our meditation, when I became distracted, I went back to it for a couple of minutes and it helped. Yeah, I'm going to practice with it a little bit more and see what happens. Play with it.
Yeah, so I won't devote the entire talk to alternate nostril breathing, but and for those who missed the beginning, if you're not familiar, you breathe in one nostril, then out the other, and you keep going back and forth, and traditionally you end with a long exhale on the left nostril. And so I first learned about this when my stepmother-in-law, my husband Stuart's stepmom, was diagnosed with ALS. And she was taught this breathing technique because it would strengthen and help her breathe more deeply by this alternate nostril breathing. And then I shared it with a meditation friend, and she just found it life-changing, how much it integrated her breath and her body. And then in my lawyer meditation program, when I was training for it, I was introduced to it through that as well. It was like I was getting alternate nostril breathing through all sorts of things. And one of the public defender, criminal defense attorneys in the program, it was quite amusing. She really took to it too. And she said she was in court. She had a pressure moment before the judge. She didn't know what to do. And she said, "Give me a moment, Your Honor." And she just turned and she did the alternate nostrils really quickly. And she found her solution. And she just responded in the most calm way. So I offer it to you all. And then most remarkably, I heard an NPR interview and somebody was talking about alternate nostril breathing. And they said it had, in fact, a physical scientific basis because it's something that the nose does naturally. That there's very sensitive, actually erectile tissue in the nose. And that when we breathe through the right nostril, it is energizing. Studies have shown when you breathe in through your right nostril, it energizes, raises your blood pressure, causes those sorts of stimulation responses. And that when you breathe in through your left and out through your left, it causes a calming effect. And so in the traditional teaching of this, you breathe out, exhaling in the left for the final breath. And the body actually does this naturally to try to balance itself. We don't realize it, but it's actually breathing and changing nostrils to try to balance ourselves. So at any rate, a seed planted, just wanted to offer it. And I come back to it. I will begin a meditation session with it to sort of bring me. And as Loki said, I find I'm paying more attention to the sensations of breathing. That alone, I find helpful to do. So thinking about alternate nostril breathing, and you had no idea that I sat with you here, sometimes I was going left, right on my breaths. I thought, you know, it's beautiful and sacred that we sit together here in silence, but I wanted to open it up. And, you know, especially perhaps in this time of the pandemic, when it's so important to support each other and when we can rely on the techniques that we do for ourselves to give us a sense of calm, a sense of balance. I was wondering if anybody here would be willing to share, you know, in our 30 minutes of silence we share together, what technique, not, you know, how well you do it, whether you're in a bliss state, whether you're just turning your mind, you know, what technique do you use? Very simple, short explanation, but we come from a variety of traditions and I'd just be curious if anybody would offer that. I'll start just by saying, you know, I tend to practice in sort of a traditional mindfulness, Vipassana tradition. And I practice with concentrating on my breath in a 30 minute meditation like this. When my mind comes distracted, I discover, I awaken, I'm distracted. And then I bring my attention back to the breath over and over again. And again, a grounding in concentration on breath. And then I try to integrate that simply in daily life as well, with the in-breath right now and an out-breath. So that's what I do mostly, what I try to do in these 30 minutes we share each week. And I know in Zen or in Tibetan practices, there are different things that are often done, or even in the Theravada or Vipassana practices. I don't know if it's too intimate a thing to do, but if anybody would be wanting to share something that they do and what technique they use, or if there's a technique they find has really helped them during this time, please unmute and share. And Lynn and Jacob, I see you both motioning. So either one, feel free.
Go ahead, Jacob.
Oh, okay. Sure. I just was going to say I read something. This is just kind of a little visualization I do sometimes. I read in a Suzuki Roshi, you know, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, just like a foundational kind of text. Can you guys hear me? Sorry.
Yep.
I realize there's a loud fan going.
Just see you, that's all.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's just there's a line in the book. It wasn't even a meditation technique. It just said your mind is just a swinging door, talking about the breath in, the breath out, the breath in, like your mind. And I sometimes visualize this swinging door in my mind, like when my brain is cluttered while I'm trying to, you know, let go during meditation. Focus on my breath. And for whatever reason, that visualization works and helps me kind of clear out the thoughts running through. It's kind of a funny visualization, but I always do that.
I really like it. One person, a friend of mine, visualize yourself just floating on the waves, actually gentle waves of the ocean. And you know, when you get a nice spot on the ocean front, you just go up and down, up and down. The ocean is often, yeah, it can be many symbols, but yeah, I like that door swinging in, out, back, forth. Yeah, Lynn, please.
Well, concentrating on my breath doesn't work for me. I tend to stop breathing and get dizzy. So ever since I started, I concentrate on my whole body, and that works for me. And, you know, especially feeling like, I don't know which sense it's called, but location of my body in space and how it seems, the surface of my skin and how that seems to come to me in like little tiny bits, you know, like particles, like, I don't know. So it just, yeah, it generally makes me feel connected to the universe and all the other wonderful little particles, little bits of the universe we are and everything is, you know? So.
And do you find yourself using any particular part of the body, or is it your body in space where you are in the room with you?
Oh, my whole body, just sensations from my whole body. So that's, you know, that takes up all my attention. That really helps.
Absolutely. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to reinforce one thing too. That's really great that Lynn, you shared that breathing, you find yourself getting lightheaded, you hold your breath, whatever you know, it's not working for you. And so much of our meditation, you know, instructions involve the breath. And it's really, really valuable to say, if that's not working as a balance and something to bring you into the present, there are other things, and Lynn, you beautifully described what you found to do. So thank you. And Larry, I see your hand up. I see a number, but Larry, please.
I did a retreat with Mark Coleman in June that was called Awake in the Wild at Home. And so ever since then, practicing in nature has been, I mean, I did it before, but it's been more important. I live in Chicago, so weather obviously is a huge problem or issue, I should say. But I found that the practice in nature, even in city nature, makes a huge difference with my feeling grounded and whole.
Marvelous. Love it. Love it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Loki, do you want to share something?
Yes, I had learned I took on some day-longs with Ajahn Amaro and Sister Ajahn Ananda Bodhi, Aya Ananda Bodhi, two Theravadan monk and nun, and they talked about the nada, an inner sound. It's becoming more practiced in the Theravadan world, but it has its roots in ancient yogic and Hindu tradition. And it's when you're very quiet, sometimes many of us hear an inner sound. It's not tinnitus. It's not tinnitus. It's deeper than that. It's an inner vibration and sound. And I hear it a lot. I also have tinnitus, but this is different. It's a deeper sound. And it has several tones to it. So I start off with the breath. And then when I start to hear this inner sound, it's called the nada, the sound of silence, the music of the spheres. There are many spiritual traditions actually that use that as a samadhi technique, as a concentration. And I'll just shift to that. And it sometimes has an expansive, almost a mindfulness of mind quality. And then when I lose, you know, I'll always start off with the breath as the anchor. And then when that becomes, when I can start to hear that, I'll go into that. And Ajahn Amaro, who gave a day long on it, said that when you do hear it, if you follow it for a while and you start to hear higher tones, synchronize with the higher tones. So that's what I do. And it's really beautiful. And then, you know, the thing about what Jacob was saying, I also heard a meditation teacher talk about, he described it as sitting at a portal where a wind was going back and forth, the wind being our breath. So I incorporate that. It's related to the door, but it's I see myself sitting at a stone portal and my breath is going between, you know, back and forth as the wind. And so I throw all that in, whatever works.
Thank you. And just following up on both of those, you know, the back and forth, this is part of the alternate nostril breathing, is left, right stimulation. It's part of EMDR. It's something that can be very calming and opening, this back, forth, and I guess hypnotism too. I'm not an expert on it, but we don't try to hypnotize ourselves in meditation, but things that ground us from, you know, all the spinning. And Larry, too, what you were saying about the outdoors, it's sort of marvelous in a way that the outdoors is putting us into, you know, the impermanence of the world. It's reminding us, you know, just as Lynn was saying, we have bodies, we are in space, we're in the world, we're not on Earth. And I was thinking, oh, I should try to go back last night as it was getting a little bit dark and sit in front of the computer and try to put together some thoughts I wanted to say for the talk tonight. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm sitting on a rock, it's cold, you know, and the full moon is here. Why don't I think about the talk here in nature, you know, rather than in front of a computer? So just to underscore both of them. And nature presents its challenges, as you said, it's not always pleasant. And that's part of what we sit with. Stephen, did you have something you wanted to, I saw your hand earlier.
Yeah, I just, first of all, I agree with Larry. My best meditations happen at the ocean, the edge of the ocean, always have for 30 years. So I agree with that. But the other thing is that one of the techniques for breathing is a technique where you breathe, and I've mentioned it once before at one of these talks, you breathe in to the count of four and breathe out to the count of eight. And there's actually a name for it. It's called RVNS, respiratory vagus nerve stimulation. And so much like the nasal breathing, which I had never heard of, but I tried tonight during when you taught it and then later, those things can, for me, sometimes feel a little too involved, if you will, a gimmicky almost, you know, like to be counting the breaths 4, 8, 4, 8. I do know, however, that I use the 4, 8, the breathing into the count of four, breathing out to the count of eight actually relaxes, and the vagus nerve system runs throughout your whole body. And it's a relaxing, it's responsible for relaxing our body. And I know it does work. And so sometimes if I'm distracted during meditation, I will go to that and will know, depending on where I'm at, because, you know, in a formal Zen center, if you started playing with your nose, Someone might come behind you with a large stick and bring you back to attention. But I do think that what you said, whatever, or Loki said, maybe whatever works, the idea is to be focused on one thing. And so for us in Zen, it's the breath and many other lineages as well. And so I think whatever it is, in Zen practice in the beginning, they often teach you to count, breathing in, breathing out, one, two, et cetera. And people get very distracted with all that counting stuff. So I think I appreciate this new technique all the various techniques we've talked about should be in service to helping us to focus entirely on the breathing. And you know, as you said, once we don't even know you're doing the left, right thing because you've practiced it and now it's part of your practice. And so I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And also, I think something sometimes if we're too, thank you, Stephen, those are great. And what I wanted to say, sometimes if we get too much into sort of self-tortured mindfulness practice, I've got to sit with, you know, I feel like I'm ready to strangle you, sit with it. But it is not cheating to relax. And in fact, in the Satipatthana Sutta, which I paraphrased at the beginning of our meditation, relaxing is the first, you know, major step of the mindfulness of breathing technique taught in Anapanasati technique. It's feeling the body relax, relaxing the body formation. And so all of these things we're talking about relaxes the body formation, because if it's stressed and tense and all worked up, we're not going to have much balance or insight into anything. Anybody else want to share something too? Deborah.
Yeah, I've been practicing Anusara yoga for a number of years, and there's a practice that we do, pranayama breathing, which is a yogic practice, practiced by a lot of different types of yoga. But I remember going to a class once and the teacher taught us this method, and you know, I was there to do my yoga, and she just let us do it. And it just kind of went on and on. And I was like, are we going to do yoga, you know? But it was really interesting. Like all these different things came up. Like I just had to let go of all my expectations. And after I'd done that for, I don't know, what had to have been like 20 or 25 minutes. I have to say, of all my meditation experiences, it was some of the most calming I have ever felt. You know, once you kind of push through and your body gets into this very rhythmic, focused breathing, it was pretty amazing. Just want to share that. So, you know, try it for a long time and see what happens.
That's the pranayama breathing.
Yes.
And do you want to give a real quick thing of what that is?
Oh, it's what you were saying. You just breathe.
Oh, this is the name. Okay.
And then breathe out.
Okay.
And, you
know, got so it. I didn't know that was the great. Awesome. Oh, cool.
There you
cool.
go.
Hey. Tony, are you unmute yourself?
I've heard it called 9-round breathing, and you're supposed to do it like through the left and then alternate to the right. And then you do it all through. And of course they do this whole visualization that you're cleaning out your channels. And the thing about you say the last bit at the end is supposed to be like a shaft of wheat. You start small and go out like the, you know, the head of the wheat shaft and blow out all the badness that's inside of you. They tie it to the envy and the three poisons, and that you're cleaning those out before you begin serious meditation. It's just sort of it can be your whole kind of practice, I guess, but they start in the mornings a lot of times with retreats. Do that the first thing in the morning and stuff.
Great, wonderful. Well, and one other thing just to underscore, Tony, what you're saying about cleaning out the three poisons and all this sort of stuff, but greed, hatred, delusion are, you know, the things we've heard in many talks, you know, these are the things that cause that in the Buddhist teachings are the causes of suffering. And when we see something pleasant, we want to grab it. When we see something unpleasant, get away from it. So something that I think we embody in meditation, in that silence, when we have a chosen object, if it's the breath or our bodies or a sound or whatever it might be, when we get distracted and start thinking about something, whether it be a pleasant fantasy or an obsession about a fear or worry, somehow our mind is finding that more compelling than our breath or our sound or our body. The mind has bit, it's clung on to that storyline. So each time we gently, if we can, bring ourselves back to our object of meditation, we are actually practicing letting go of greed, hatred, and delusion. We are practicing the actual, you know, liberating practice of the Dharma, moment by moment by moment in silence together. So, yeah, a beautiful thing we do together. I think we're getting a little short on time. Is there time, Carl, for Alan? I saw you wanted to say something real quick. Yeah, so Alan, please go ahead.
So I do a version of Stephen's. It's a 4-7-8. breathe in for 4 seconds or for 4 counts, hold it for 7 counts, and then go to 8 and exhale and do that 4 times. And it's all the things that he said it's supposed to do. And I do it when I start. I actually do it before I go to bed now, which seems to help me just go into sleep. The other thing that I do that is in my list of Alan bad Buddhist practices is if the mind, one of the things we say is the mind has a function. And so I've just been accepting that what my mind does, it's just going to do. So even if it's obsessing over something, at some point I'll notice that and I'll just say, oh yeah, the mind's doing that. Okay. And so it's less of a letting go and more of the mind is going to do stuff. And even if the mind does these things to us, I'm still breathing. I'm still doing the things that are that I need to do in this practice. And letting the mind do its own thing, because that's what the mind does. So it's letting go of the need to let go. So I think that's what I'm doing is like, because it's easy to get to that place of, oh my God, we have to stop the brain. And now I'm much more in a place of just let that go.
Yeah.
And not focus on stopping the brain and just watch, but try to watch the brain and just, but it's going to do its thing. And I never know what that is.
Wonderful. And just to underscore that and all of it in a sense that both what Stephen and Alan, I forgot the Lessick, got the Alex. But anyway, you know, the vagus nerve is another biological thing, V-A-G-A-S. And there are things you can look at online. We don't have time to talk about it. But that's another thing of calmness. But what Alan is saying too, that sometimes we often say let go, but sometimes let be can be a wonderful meditation instruction too. And knowing when to let go or let be, it's an art, but can be really valuable. Letting your brain be, it's going to do that and I'm still breathing. So
John, thank you. And thank you all for sharing. So let's sit, and this is another technique that sometimes I use when I get distracted and that is do metta during a meditation, metta for myself and metta for others and people struggling and for all beings. So let's sit for a minute or two and we'll close with a little metta. Okay, let's sit. In our practice together in Sangha today, may it be for the benefit of each and every one of us, and may that benefit spread to all beings everywhere. May all of us and all beings be happy and find the causes of happiness. May all of us and all beings be healthy in body and mind. May all of us and all beings everywhere be safe from danger and from harm. And may all of us and all beings everywhere live with ease and well-being, and ultimately, may we all and all beings be free.